us commit our time, please, to the Lord in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee this evening for the gospel again. We rejoice, O God, that it is the power of God unto salvation. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You will be pleased to come. And Lord, in the gospel tonight, reveal Thyself. Stand amongst us, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that there will be a hearing unto the gospel tonight, we ask. So hear and answer prayer. Be with us just now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. 654 is our opening hymn tonight. Wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross He was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free, all because Jesus was wounded for me. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's stand to sing. Seek the Lord again, please, in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee this evening of the one who we have been singing about. We thank Thee for the one who was wounded for us. We thank the Lord for the one who died for us, for the one who rose again for us, the one, Lord, who is seated right now at the Father's right hand in glory, living, praying for us. And yet, O God, we thank Thee tonight that it's this same Jesus that will come one day again for us. Rejoice, O God, tonight for our standing in Christ. Rejoice, O God, for all that we have in the Savior tonight. We thank Thee, O God, tonight that it's not of any merits of our own, or not of any goodness that we have, but all because of what Christ has done for us. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight, Lord, that we can lift our hearts in thanksgiving and praise, Lord, for all that You've done for us. Lord, for all the Lord has done for us, we never will cease to praise Thee. And our Heavenly Father, most of all, we thank Thee, O God, tonight as we come to the gospel, for the finished work of Christ there on the cross, we thank Thee, Lord, for the one who gave His life, the one who shed His precious blood, that we might be saved, that we might be brought to God. We rejoice, O God, tonight in the gospel. We thank Thee, Lord, for that old story. Yeah, it's old, yet ever new. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this evening in the gospel, Lord, that You would be pleased to come. And Lord, speak to every waiting heart tonight. O God, we pray that there will be, Lord, that hearing of the gospel this evening. But Lord, also there will be that obeying of the gospel tonight. O God, we cry unto Thee tonight that You would be pleased to come and reveal Thyself, Lord. We pray, Lord, You'll take the scales from off eyes this evening. And Heavenly Father, we pray that sinners might see the beauty and the loveliness of our Savior. O God, we cry unto Thee tonight for that move of God. We pray, Lord, that You'll do that which only You can do. Lord, we can do and create no anxious thought tonight. Realize, O God, we're called to be faithful in our proclamation of the gospel, yet salvation is of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, do Thine own work tonight, we pray. Lord, bless in this meeting house this evening. Bless the going forth of the gospel tonight. Remember our sister Charlotte as she administered to us in song. We pray, Lord, You'll encourage her and bless her. We thank the Lord for her, and may she know much of the blessing of God tonight as she would minister to us. Bless around the gospel tonight, we pray. And Lord, we pray that everything will be to the glory and to the honor of Thy great name. We pray, Lord, You'll bless even in the open air, Lord, a little later. We ask, O God, that You'll be pleased to come. And Lord, even prepare hearts there in Tullycarnock. Lord, as we go there to preach the glorious gospel of Christ tonight, Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll go before us and prepare the way. And even, Lord, there, there'll be a hearing unto the gospel of Christ. So be with us tonight, we pray. Presence Thyself with us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might be very conscious that God is here and that to bless us. So be with us. Continue with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. We are delighted, as always, to have our sister Charlotte Coughey with us this evening. Charlotte, you're very, very welcome once again back to Sandown. I'm going to ask you to come and sing for us. The Lord bless you.
I just want to thank you for having me here to sing tonight. The first piece is Taking Us to the Cross. Last I lay down. Next piece is King of Kings, Majesty.
Charlotte, thank you very much for your ministering song. It's been a blessing, as it always is, and a pleasure to listen to. And one day we will all be able to sing like Charlotte. when we get to heaven. For some of us, it'll be a job of work for the Lord to make us sing like an angel, but we'll get there. But we are thankful for Charlotte, for the gifts and the talents the Lord has given to her, and how she's using them in the service of Her Majesty. The Lord bless you and be with you, Charlotte. We'll hear from her in a little time. We're going to turn to the New Testament tonight, again to the book of 1 Peter, this time please, 1 Peter chapter 2. We will read from verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 9, there we read, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit to yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so it is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men of the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if ye, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye shall take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body in the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Amen. May the Lord be pleased to add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Let me again welcome you all tonight to our evening gospel service. We are glad to see you all, and we pray the Lord will meet with us this evening. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you in the Savior's name. Immediately after our meeting tonight, we're going to go out into the open air again and have another short open-air gospel service. And we're going over to Tullycarnet tonight, over to the just past the primary school there, up past the primary school, and we'll meet there on the green. So if you are able to join with us for just a little time, then we certainly would appreciate your support. Tomorrow night, 7:15, for our elders, there's a meeting of our church session. And then at 8:00, there's a meeting of our committee. Then on Tuesday at 8:00 is our Bible study and prayer meeting. Friday night, 8:00, is the presbytery meeting in Coleraine. Then Saturday, that brings us to our church barbecue. And we're looking forward to this day. I trust that you're able to join with us and that your name is down. This is really your last opportunity to get your name down. We're meeting at the Scout Centre there at Crawfordsburn Country Park. And all will kick off from 3:00 or even before 3:00. There'll be lots of games and activities for you to involve yourself in. And all games and activities are not restricted to any particular age. So there'll be something for everybody to do at the barbecue next Saturday afternoon. And then also, as I said this morning, while all the food and etc. is free, you may wish to bring money for the ice cream van, which is coming along. You want to get yourself an ice cream, then you can do that. And also, as we've said, we are fundraising for the Northern Ireland Air Ambulance. provide a vital work to our community. And so they will be along on Saturday. There'll be merchandise there if you wish to buy some of those things to support, but there'll also be a basket that you can help and support them in that manner. Also, we could ask you to bring your seats with you, bring your garden seats, your folding seats, picnic seats, whatever sort of seats, not your big armchairs now. You'll never get those into the car, but some sort of seat that's easy to put into the boot of the car, and that would be a big help. We're looking forward to a good time. Let's pray for good weather as well, and let's pray that the Lord will bless us as we have this time of fellowship together. After the barbecue, there'll be the time of fellowship as well, and Peter and Philip will be along to sing. Tweedledum and Tweedledee will be along to sing for us. And then, as we said, our brother Bill Woods, Dr. Bill Woods, will be along to just share with us a little of his missionary experience. As we said, we were to have our sister Maud Kales to come and speak to us, but Maud is not very well at the moment, and I know she would value your prayers. But we're thankful for Dr. Woods being able to come only for a short time. He isn't able to stay all that very long, but we trust that what he says to us will be a blessing and a challenge to our hearts. Next Sunday, 10:15, is our Bible class in Sunday school. 11:30 in the morning worship service, the Reverend Raymond McLernan will be the preacher next Sunday morning. I will be over in Donaghadee preaching. Then 2:30, our Sunday school in Hollywood, followed by our gospel service next Sunday night at 6:30. I'll be preaching, and our sister Kirsten McMillan will be singing. And we'll have the Lord's table after the gospel service next Sunday night. The missionary boxes are due in, so if you have a missionary box, please, if you could bring it in to Richard or to William at your earliest convenience, they'll be emptied and then returned back to you. Do remember those who need our prayers, those who are sick, those who are shut in the congregation. Pray that the Lord will be near to them. Remember the Irvine family and the death of Kathleen, and also remember the Jackson family and the death of Eddie. Remember that funeral as it takes place, God willing, on Thursday. Thank you as well to you all for giving your support to the Ugandan mission team that's going out in a few weeks to do mission work out in Uganda, and the offering for that came to £1,000, and thank you sincerely in the Lord's name. Do remember the Missionary Council newsletter. The latest one is available. That'll keep you up to date with all the various missionaries under our mission board. Again, our thanks to Colin and to Hazel for their time, their work, and their labour of love in planning our day out on Wednesday, and all who were there will testify that they had a good time. Remember all who are doing exams at the moment. The sun is shining, so that must mean that it's exam time. And so do remember all of our young people. Remember Adam, all the Bible College students as well, as they sit their exams and as they look out at the sunshine and wishing they were out in the sunshine rather than sitting in an examination hall. But that time will come, and the end is in sight. So do remember them all. Remember all our young people sitting exams, whatever shape or form. Pray the Lord will help them. Let's turn to another hymn at this stage. The hymn number 330. 330, the words will be on the screen. But if you're following in the hymn book, it's page 310. Since Christ, my soul from sin set free, this world has been a heaven to me. Amid our sorrows and its woes, 'tis heaven, my Jesus, here to know. 330, and we'll stand again as we sing, please. Let's stand to sing. ask Charlotte to come again and sing for us. We pray the Lord will bless her as she ministers again in song. Thank you, Charlotte.
Pretend that didn't happen. The last piece I'm going to sing is Amazing Grace.
Charlotte, thank you again very much for your help in the meeting tonight. As always, it's an encouragement. Don't worry about falling up the stairs. That is something that people in Sandown do an awful lot of. Over this past few weeks, there's been fractures here, there, and everywhere. So thankfully, hopefully, there's nothing broken there. But never you worry about that. Glad to have you, and pray the Lord will bless you as you seek to serve him. Returning tonight to 1 Peter chapter 2. I must apologize to those at the back of the gallery for your lack of light. We have tried, but tried in vain to get that light sorted, but we will get it sorted from some way. So apologies that you're in the dark up there, but hopefully it won't affect things too much. 1 Peter chapter 2. Want to take as our text this evening the words of verse 24. Who, of course, referring to Christ, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. I want us to think this evening about the subject of the conquest at Calvary. The conquest at Calvary. But before we come to the Word of God, let's seek his face and his help in a word of prayer. Eternal God, we thank thee tonight that we have been reminded again about the amazing grace of God. We thank the Lord for the sweetness of that sound. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that even as we come to the gospel, as we come, Lord, to the cross tonight, Lord, that that sound, Lord, will be even sweeter to our hearts. Lord, for each one of thy dear people, we pray, Lord, that all that Christ accomplished for us there, Lord, that we'll love thee all the more. And, O God, we pray tonight for any here out of Christ. Pray, Lord, that you be pleased to bring them, Lord, to that place of faith and repentance. Open their blinded eyes, we pray, Lord, that they'll see the beauty and the loveliness of Christ. So be with us, we pray. Give us help to preach and give us help to hear. And Lord, through it all, may thy name be honored and glorified. In the name of Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen. In 1815, two military men faced off at a muddy field close to Waterloo in Belgium. Wellington with his British and Allied army, and Napoleon with his French Imperial Guard. One decisive battle that could end 20 years of conflict on the continent. It was the showdown between the two military giants that was going to shape the future from there on in. And by the 18th of June of that year, the outcome hung in the balance, and the victor would determine the fate of continental Europe. Now, to understand Waterloo, it's important to understand that Napoleon had been trying to establish his European empire under his military dictatorship since the beginning of the 1800s. The British had defeated him at Trafalgar in 1805, but Napoleon then went on to invade countries across Europe before being forced to abdicate. But he returned to Paris in March of 1815, prompting Britain and Prussia, Russia and Austria to declare war. And in June, Napoleon invaded Belgium, hoping to capture Brussels. He sent troops to fight Wellington, and the scene was set for a very final and a very decisive battle. That battle then raged on to one final push against the French invaders. The French were put into confusion. They were chased from the battlefield, and eventually Napoleon and his armies were defeated. And his aim, his conquest to capture Europe, was halted. His domination and his reign then was over. After his defeat, Napoleon gathered his generals together in his war room. And on the wall, there was a map of the world. And he had the area of Waterloo marked out in red. And Napoleon said to his generals and to his military men, pointing to that red spot at Waterloo, he said, "If it were not for that red spot, I would have conquered the world." That red spot held him back, and caused him great defeat. In the gospel this evening, I want us to come to another red spot, to another place that saw defeat, fatal and final defeat, but not for the principalities or the powers of Napoleon or any earthly general, but for the spiritual powers of darkness, of sin and Satan. That place is referred to simply in our text this evening as the tree. The tree. And because of that place, because of that red spot that is referred to there in verse 24, there is victory tonight because Satan has been defeated. That tree, of course, is Calvary's tree. The tree of Mount Calvary outside the walls of Jerusalem. Because just as there was a battle raging at Waterloo, as there was a battle to be fought, so there was a greater battle that was fought and won at Calvary. And it was at Calvary that Satan and sin was ultimately defeated. And tonight Satan can look to that red spot at Calvary and say, if it were not for that place, I would have conquered the world. But thank God tonight that because of that place where Jesus Christ shed his precious blood, Satan's head was bruised, his kingdom was wounded fatally and forever. And that conquest is summed up for us in the words of verse 24. We want to center our thoughts upon these words tonight. And there are particular aspects of the work of Christ that we want to consider as he knew what it was to conquer sin and Satan at the cross. I want you to see, first of all, here that there is the suffering work of Christ. In verse 21, we read, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us." The suffering work of Christ. And just let those words sink into your mind for a moment. Christ also suffered for us. The pain and the punishment, the suffering and the sorrow that Christ endured were just as vital and just as important as the sin-bearing work that we'll go on in a moment to look at. The entire atoning work of Christ on the cross involved suffering. In fact, we could say the sufferings of Christ were the very essence of the atoning work of Christ. Because you see, there was a penalty that had to be paid. There was a broken law that had to be satisfied there. We, the sinner, had broken the law of God. We, the sinner, rebelled against God. We, the sinner, had rejected God. We could never meet that penalty of ourselves. Only Christ, the perfect, pure Lamb of God, Son of God, could do what no sinner could ever do. And that brings us then to the penal nature of the sufferings of Christ. He's suffering because of a punishment. You break the law of the land, you suffer the punishment. There's a penalty to be paid if you break the law of this land. And there was a penalty to be paid for the broken law of God. And in that penalty and in that punishment, there was suffering. You think of all the types of Christ, all the antitypes of the atoning work of Christ in the Old Testament. All those sacrifices, they all involved suffering. The animal had to agonize. The animal had to bleed and die in order for the animal sacrifice. There had to be suffering. In that great chapter 16 of the book of Leviticus, talking about the Day of Atonement, in verse 27 it says, "The bullock and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement." And it talks about them burning in the fire. It speaks about immense suffering. And that, of course, is pointing to the Son of God, to the Lamb of God, who suffered on the tree for us, suffered under the penalty of sin for us. As he endured the fire of God's wrath. Oh, do you see it tonight? The sufferings of Christ, those referred to in verse 21, they were sufferings for the penalty for the sins of others. For us. For us. Notice how he suffered. In verse 22, we see that he suffered sinlessly. He did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. And you know, whenever we think about that, the sinless perfection of Christ made the sufferings of Christ all the worse. His sinless perfection exacerbated and made his sufferings more intense. Christ suffering for our sin, Christ suffering for the sins that were laid upon him, the punishment for our sins, the penalty for our sins. He was suffering what? The just for the unjust. He was the Savior suffering for the sinner. And he suffered the punishment of our sin, the guilt of our sin that was laid on him. What was that punishment? It was death. It was death. What a punishment it was. It was a battle royal with Satan and with the powers of hell. There on that cross, he looked like a sinful man being born of a sinful woman, but he had no sin of his own, no guile found in his mouth, no deceit, no deception. He suffered sinlessly. Not only did he suffer sinlessly, he also, look in verse 23, he suffered silently. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He suffered silently. You read through the earthly ministry of Christ, and often there were times when Christ had to speak up in defense of himself, and Christ had to speak up in defense of the gospel that he came to proclaim. But here, when we come to the cross, he suffered silently. He uttered not a word. He gave his back to the smiters, his cheeks to those who would pluck out the hairs of his head. He was oppressed, as Isaiah says, and afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was silent in the face of suffering, because he knew there was no other way that sinful man could ever be brought to God but by his sufferings. He did not seek to argue his case. He did not seek to defend himself. He suffered sinlessly, but he suffered silently, that we, the guilty sinner, might go free. He also suffered submissively. Verse 23, at the end of it, it says, but committeth himself to him, judgeth righteously. What a wonderful thing that Jesus Christ willingly, readily went to the cross to suffer for our sin. He voluntarily did the will of God. Without challenge, without rebuke, he committed himself, he submitted himself to the work of the cross. John 6 and verse 38, and we'll actually look at these thoughts more on Tuesday night. But in John 6 verse 38, he says, I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He says, my meat or my business is to do the will of him that sent me. What was the will of God? The will of God was to purchase a people back to himself, to save a people from sin, to redeem sinners. And Christ did it willingly. He did it willingly. We see that submission, especially at the cross. Remember, he refused the cup. That cup that would ease temporarily his sufferings, he refused it. Because he knew he had to suffer in order to put away sin. He suffered sinlessly. He suffered silently. He suffered submissively. Oh, surely tonight can we not sing, even as we've already heard, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. Oh, do you see it tonight? You're here without Jesus Christ. He loved you so much. He suffered sinlessly, without sin. He suffered silently, without any rebuke, without any challenge. He went readily to the cross to die for sin, to die for you. He suffered submissively. He willingly submitted Himself to do the Father's will. Why? You and I may be saved. We see a suffering work. But I want you to see, secondly, here there is the substitutionary work. Look at verse 24. Who in his own self bare our sins, in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Who in his own self bare our sins. The Father sent the Son to die in the place of the sinner. As we've been thinking over the past number of Tuesday nights especially, that in eternity past, God planned and purposed a way whereby the sinner could be redeemed. And Christ was the anointed and the appointed substitute. The Father gave His Son as a substitute for the sinner to suffer and to bleed, to die in our place for our sins. Notice the process here of substitution. How did He bear? How did He become our substitute? By bearing our sins in His own body. There at Calvary, the weight, the punishment, the guilt of every sin of His people for whom He died, laid on Christ. There we see the work of substitution most clearly. He was our sin bearer. Oh, the hymn writer put it well when they said, He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and He died alone. He bore my sin, the weight of sin. Well, there were no disciples to help bear this weight. There were no devotees who could help carry the load of our sin. He bore it Himself in His own body. He stood in the sinner's place. He stood between God and the sinner as the sinner's substitute, as the sinner's sacrifice. That we, being dead to sins, as verse 24 tells us, should live unto righteousness. There we see the great intention of the work of the cross. Christ went to the cross to bear my sins in His own body on the tree. He didn't go to the cross to leave us an example for suffering. That He did, of course. He went to the cross with the specific purpose, the specific aim of being the sinner's substitute, paying the sinner's price, and providing a way back to God. We owed a debt of sin we could never pay. Christ came to pay that debt, and it was all paid because He was our substitute. The entire guilt of every sin laid on Christ there on the cross in our stead. A businessman was starting off in a new venture. in his business, and he went to the bank looking for a loan. And they asked him for a security, and they wanted the name of someone who could underwrite and act as a guarantor for that debt. The businessman had a wealthy friend who was willing to step in and be the guarantor for that debt. And so the money was borrowed. And the business went well, and so he wanted to expand the business again. He looked for more money. He went to the bank, and they again wanted someone to underwrite this debt. And again, his wealthy friend was only too happy to underwrite the debt. The business expanded. But then things started to go wrong, and he started to get into financial trouble. He couldn't pay his debts. Finally, the bank had to step in, called in the loan. And the full debt had to be paid. But it wasn't the man who borrowed the money that paid the debt. It was the guarantor who said, "I'll pay that debt. I'll cover that debt." And Jesus Christ there on the cross was our guarantor. He stepped in to pay the debt we could never pay. And he paid it in full. He is our guarantor for the debt of our sin. And no other hope, no other plea. He took my place. He died for me. Oh, precious Lamb of Calvary, he took my place and died for me. Do you see it tonight? He who in his own self bare our sins. You can say, my sins. My sins. There's the process of this substitution. But there's also the place of this substitution on the tree. On the tree. We read of the judgment and the wrath of God being poured out often throughout Scripture. But you know, the clearest and the most graphic display of the wrath of God, the hatred of God for sin, was seen at the tree, the place called Calvary. Because there on that middle tree, that mercy tree, that place where Christ was bruised and crushed and wounded, that place where Christ suffered at the hands of his Father, that place where the rod of divine wrath was lifted up and laid upon him as he offered himself one sacrifice for sin. The original, that word bear there, it has the idea of a great weight. He bare our sins. They weighed greatly upon Christ and the cross. We could never bear them. They would crush us. They would defeat us. But Christ bore them in our place. That place called Calvary, the place of the tree, where there he suffered, bled, and died, that we might go free. Place all this substitution. It's Calvary. You see, folks, that's why we must never and can never get past the cross, the preaching of the gospel. We can never and we must never omit the preaching of the cross in the gospel, because without the cross there is no satisfaction for sin. Without the atoning work of Christ there on that tree, there is no hope tonight. Thank God tonight there is hope, because there on that middle tree, Christ suffered in the sinner's place, that we might be reconciled, that we might be redeemed. Oh, the suffering work. The substitutionary work. But notice as well, there is the satisfying work. But at the end of verse 24, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. Again, we come back to a point we made a few moments ago. There's the intention. There's where Christ, why Christ came, to satisfy the wrath of God, to save the sinner. And here's the wonderful thing. Christ not only gave his life for us, he gave his life to us. Remember where we were thinking in Galatians 2 and 20? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The wonderful doctrine there of imputation. Our sins made over to Christ in the cross, imputed to him. What do we get in return? His righteousness. His acceptance. All that is Christ's is ours by faith for those who will trust him and him alone. His righteousness became our righteousness. We had no righteousness of our own. They're all as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God, as the Bible declares to us. But Christ died, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, in other words, we who had no righteousness of our own, might receive the righteousness of God. He made him to be sin who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God through him, that we might have a right standing before God. Because you see, in our sin, we have no standing. In our sin, we have no acceptance. Christ in his work, atoning work there on the cross, satisfied the wrath of God that the guilty sinner might receive the righteousness of God through Christ. The sin-sick soul of the sinner can be healed and can be saved. Through the bleeding wounds, the agonizing stripes of the Lord on the cross, there's the accomplishment of the cross. The wrath of God was poured out on Christ by the Father as Christ bore all the sins for all those for whom he died. And he made a complete sacrifice by whose stripes you were healed. Oh, thank God tonight for the sinner who comes to Jesus Christ. You're healed of your sin. That penalty of sin that is yours is paid for in full. That wrath of God, which right at this minute hangs over your head, that wrath of God can be satisfied and turned away if you will but come to Christ, trust him and his finished work alone to save you. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of sin. There is acceptance with God. There is pardon tonight. There is assurance tonight. The divine purpose, the divine intention of Christ coming to bear our sins in his own body was that we who are sinners may be counted as righteous through him. Christ who died on the cross tonight still saves from sin. That victory that Christ won there at the cross over sin can be your victory tonight. The penalty of the broken law that had to be paid, it's been paid for you tonight if you will but come to Jesus Christ and receive him and him alone. Christ is the divinely appointed one. He bore the wrath, the curse of God for sin, and he perfectly satisfied the wrath of God. He breaks the power of canceled sin, and he sets the prisoner free. Christ took our punishment that we would never be punished. Christ endured the wrath of God for us that we would never endure it. Sinner, do you see how much he loved you? He gave his life. He gave everything that he had. He suffered not just at the hands of the Roman soldiers, vile and wicked and wretched though that was. He suffered at the hands of the Father as he was made sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God. for him. There on the cross, he endured your hell that you might never go there. And on the cross, he was separated from the Father, that all those who come by faith and trust Christ alone would never be separated. Christ in his own body in the tree bore the guilt of your sin that you might go free. And thank God tonight, the victory of Calvary can be your victory tonight, if you will but come and trust the Savior. He conquered sin, death, and hell. He is a defeated foe. One day, because of Calvary, because of that red spot, one day he'll have every enemy to be his footstool. Because of that red spot, Calvary, you can have peace with God tonight. You're going to pardon from sin. You can know victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who in his own self bare your sins in his own body on the tree. Have you been to that place for forgiveness? Have you been to the cross tonight? Have you ever trusted Christ and Christ alone for salvation? If not, then do so tonight. And for each one this evening that's saved, remember we are in the victory of the cross tonight. We stand into that victory. We don't fight for victory. We're standing in the victory. And though it may seem that this world is winning and that sin is gaining the upper hand, remember one day the conquering Savior will return from heaven to be the judge of all the earth and to damn every lost soul, every power and principality that seeks to rise against him down to hell for all eternity and bring his people home. That's the assurance, that's the victory that we have tonight because of the one who in his own self, in his own body, bare our sins. Conquest at Calvary can be your conquest tonight. The victory that was gained there, you can share in that victory tonight if you will but come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, turning from sin, and seeking him and him alone for salvation. Will you come tonight? Will you trust him who died to save you from your sin? Let's bow in prayer.